Welcome to Actors 2020 Podcast. I'm your host, Johnny Keith. Once again, we have another amazing performer. Her name is Michelle Arthur, and we're going to talk about how you go from background performer to speaking roles to writer, producer, and director of your own film. She has a lot of credits on Internet Movie Database. You actually should go look her up there. It's Michelle Arthur, number 4. And take a look at not only her bio, but the trivia. It goes on and on. You've heard of Kevin Bacon's 7 degrees of separation? Check out her trivia. It's commingled with everybody from Dustin Hoffman to Warren Beatty to James Dean to Marilyn Monroe. It's very, very interesting. You should all go check that out. Anyway, why don't we just get her on the phone and let's see what she has to offer you. And here we go.
Hello.
Hey, it's Johnny Keith from Actors 2020 Podcast. How are you?
I am good. How are you? Thanks for having me on your show.
I introduced you as, how does one go from a background performer to a speaking actor to writing, producing, and directing her own film? Pretty amazing.
Well, I don't know if it's always in that order.
True.
For me, it started as the writer. I was trained in that capacity with a journalism degree and actually pursued a magazine writing editorial career before I got into the Hollywood.
But did you model for the magazines as well?
Yes, actually, there's so much overlap, both in the filmmaking business and in magazines. In the magazine business, I was modeling, I was writing stories, I was selling the advertising space, I was on the development team as an executive. So you use all of those skills within those companies, and that happens in the filmmaking business too. I know out there in mainstream, they're like, wow, this person directs and they produce, but there's a lot of overlap.
So you're in the Screen Actors Guild, right?
I'm not, until you're really getting a lot of reoccurring roles. It's very expensive to join, and by not being in the union, I'm able to do non-union as well as union work. When a producer takes on a SAG project, there are tons of paperwork, lots of bureaucracy, there are a lot of constraints, and it limits the producer. So it's actually better when you can work with someone who's SAG eligible, like me.
But you started out as a background performer in like 90210?
Right. When I first moved to LA in 1998, for about 3 years, I was lucky that I fell into some projects that were a pretty big name, like Beverly Hills 90210. And I did do background. And sometimes people look down upon that. There's a stigma, and I don't understand why, because there's so much experience you can gain by being on set.
Uh-huh.
You know, which would you rather be? In an office building miles away or on a set in a studio learning how the lead actress, like Tom Ellis, is doing his job, or the director? Just depends on who you're working with. But I've been very fortunate that I've had some award-winning directors and producers that I've worked with as background and speaking roles.
And then you can get featured as well.
Exactly. Like on Dark Hours TP, I signed on to just be a production assistant. And then they needed someone to be a veil patron. And then I just happened to be in hair and makeup when one of the speaking actors, a man, didn't show. And I said, I can do it. And they're like, what? You're not a man.
Today I am.
I said, you know what? But wouldn't it be a lot more impactful if those lines were actually coming from a woman instead of a man?
Mm-hmm.
And this is a time period piece. They said, okay, we'll let you try it. And thanks to the director, Sydney, who gave me that role. So I went from, in that one film, being a production assistant to background to having the speaking role of Dorothea Duncan.
That's pretty cool. And if you're not on the set, it's not going to happen. So get on the set.
Exactly.
But doing all the background performing, who are some of the stars that you've actually seen on the set? I mean, didn't you do something like The Good Place with Ted Danson?
I did. And he's an award winner. Right. That was very special. Kristen Bell. Yeah, I've worked with her.
Oh, I love her. So as far as training, I noticed that, you know, you said at UCLA, Actors Edge Studio, Artist Theater Group. A friend of mine used to go to Playhouse West, and he's like, hey, man, I just did a scene with James Franco. And I'm like, the guy from Spider-Man? So did you work with James Franco at Playhouse West?
Well, he took classes at Playhouse West. And then from that, he took those experiences and he founded Studio 4 Film and Acting School. And so through that, I worked with him on multiple films.
Okay.
Actors Anonymous, Dark Hours, Roxanne. He's been the executive producer behind a number of projects I've worked on, but he was also my director on certain films like 10.
That's cool. So you were a gymnast when you were a kid. Can you still do a cartwheel or something these days?
I have I've tried to do a cartwheel for a long time.
I mean, you probably could do like a round off and a bunch of flips, but I'm sure you could do a cartwheel.
You're making me want to go try it. Gymnastics, I really enjoyed that. And dancing, I really enjoy. And I've been fortunate that I've been able to dance in a number of TV shows or films. 6, actually.
Wow. So is that kind of how it started for you acting-wise? Because you were, 6 years old or something? And then you just said, I want to be an actress? Or how did it start?
I had that desire to do that. And then when I was in LA, I was on a sales call for my magazine when I actually had to walk through a set to get to my appointment. And when I did that, I met a man who was getting ready to go to a show the next day. And he said, hey, you should come along. And I wasn't even on the list. It was really bold to just show up. But the AD let me on and it worked out. And I dabbled in it in those years and came back to it just because it's really what I want to do.
Yeah, that's great. So you came back to LA like 3 different times. So when you weren't in LA, where were you? Were you in New York doing stuff or did you take a time out and then came back?
I lived in New York City at 2 different times in my life when I was first starting out because that's the magazine capital.
Yeah.
And then I went back there to develop that even further years later. My home base is Indianapolis. That's where I'm from. So I really jumped from I'll go back and forth from Indy to New York, Indy to LA, Indy to New York, Indy to San Francisco, California, New York, and Indiana are the only 3 states I really lived in. Lake Tahoe is kind of split there between California and Nevada.
Yeah, that's beautiful. That's beautiful out there.
Yeah, and I had an adventure there for 3 years. So all of these experiences have helped me with my films as far as writing and producing and just having life experiences. I think so many directors or casting agents want to hire the 20-something, and yeah, they have the flawless skin and they have their youth, you know, and that's great. But it's the more experienced people who I think can contribute as actors because they're pulling from life experiences. Mm-hmm. And the Meisner technique is what I've used mostly with my acting. And that's putting yourself in another situation, you know, like you might be on set and they're saying, okay, you need to be upset because your acting partner is your husband in this film, for example, and he's dying. Well, I've had a boyfriend who has died, but not a husband. So, you know, you call upon other life experiences you've had to play out that role.
Yeah, because Meisner says acting is telling the truth under imaginary circumstances.
That's the Meisner technique, and it's what I've tapped into. I use that all the time.
I love the story where you actually did a Saturn commercial, and then you actually were selling Saturns for a short period of time.
Mm-hmm. For 6 weeks during the recession, I sold cars. So you do what you have to do. You know, you have your day job.
Exactly. So I wrote, directed, and produced some low-budget film. So I understand everything. I mean, you take on so many roles when you make your own films. But I want to ask you a question about Fate Shadow. So you did Fate Shadow, and it was a 10-minute short. You won some awards. Then you continued with the story. And I was wondering, did you shoot it all at one time, and you just cut it to a short, and you still had all that footage, and you made a feature film out of it? Or did you do the short first, edit it down to 10 minutes, and then you reshot a whole new movie?
What we've done is we created 4 different teasers that are on YouTube. And with each teaser, I developed my skill set. Then we were ready for the short and it won 28 awards in the festival circuit. It was exposed to every country in the world with 10 nominations and 28 wins. It was a success and it has been seen. And that actually wrapped the festival circuit run in January of 2021. We completed the short December 18, 2018. And then New Year's Eve of 2018, it was officially completed all through 2019 and all through 2020. It's been in the festival circuit. We're just waiting on the notifications to see if anything more will come from that. And then that's wrapped. That whole story will be dropped into the feature, but we're going to be using different takes. So we've had many shoots, but not all at once, spread throughout time.
Oh, okay.
We're in editing mode, I guess you could say. But I would have loved to have the time and budget to do it all at once. But with our development and the people I've met along the way, it's worked out really well to spread it out over time, especially budget-wise.
Right. So what have you learned on that? Because you're in pre-production of Rings of the Unpromised. Are you trying to take your experience from the other film to this one? Like, okay, we need to do it all at once this time.
No, all at once really doesn't work for me. I mean, that's the way it's done. But not growing up in Hollywood and not going through the traditional filmmaking school process, I mean, I've had another career. I'm not in my 20s. So I haven't done this the cookie-cutter way that Hollywood Hollywood normally runs films, but ideally it would have been nice to have Big Shadow Short done and the feature completed, and then I start Ring. But the story idea came Rings of the Unpromised. My muse came to me one day with the story idea, and I wanted to tap into it while I had it. So I've gone ahead and developed that, and I'm juggling a third film too, but it's a short animation. Ideally, it would have been nice to complete the feature for Fate Shadow, have a year in between, and then do Rings. But the muse came when it did. You know, life is what happens to us while you're planning otherwise.
You got to jump on the momentum while it's happening, huh?
Right. And some of the people that were on Fate Shadow have moved into Rings with me, depending on what type of character we needed.
I see that. I see some familiar faces there. Patrick Stelinski, for one.
Yeah, and that was wonderful that you had an interview with him as well.
He was awesome. I loved interviewing him. I loved doing the research on him, too, because it's always like actors, and I'm like, wow, this guy can actually sing, and he can act. So that was awesome.
Right. He's multi-talented. Like many of the people on my staff are, you know, you bring someone in and they have skill sets to do multiple things. They wear multiple hats.
You actually wrote the script, you're directing it, but whoa, you have to jump in front of the camera now and be the actress. Do you find it difficult or just natural? Like, how do you make that transition?
It is difficult because, as I've learned in making Fate Shadow, you sometimes miss things. Now I realize the importance of having an assistant director. Jeff Vernon has jumped into that role for me. I had an official first and second AD on the short, and then our first assistant director on the feature has been Kevin Caliber too, who is my lead actor for Fate Shadow. And he is very knowledgeable and very good with camera. He has been a model as well as an actor and a producer. And so he easily fell into those steps of being an assistant director. And he's labeled as such on my film as well as the lead actor.
Right. So when you're doing the scene, he's the one who says the cut, action, and cut. Or do you still do that even though you're the actress?
Well, sometimes it's me. Sometimes it's the cinematographer. Sometimes it's the assistant director. Yeah, it's kind of funny. It's just a technique. Yeah. Something to get us going.
Yeah, because I had the same situation. I was directing a film and you can't do everything. There's so much, and I go back and look at it and I'm like, I had all these dancers just sitting there. They should have been in the background right there. That looks weird. You know, just little things like that.
Yeah, well, as I was looking at all of the footage for Fate Shadow, I would be seeing things. Oh, darn, I wish I would have moved that. But you just do your best juggling. And it's been fun to learn from all of these different positions that I've had to take on.
Is that what you're going to keep doing now? You're going to keep just writing, directing, and producing, or are you just going to mix it up and someone calls you in as an actress, you're going to say, thank God I could just show up and do the acting and not worry about it, anything else?
That's a great question. My plan is to complete the Fate Shadow feature, do Rings, and have the VNF animation created for that. Once those three projects are out the door, then I want to put this indie world behind me and just go back to the Hollywood studios and hopefully land the big blockbuster role and be like the next Amy Adams. That's the goal.
I love it because I don't want to do any of that anymore either. I just want to do my part. Show up, do the work, say your lines, master three quarters, whatever you have to do, and then leave. And you're just like, thank God I didn't have to do any of that other stuff. I just got to be the actor.
I really enjoy writing, and I feel like my forte is really the producing angle, but it's a lot of work.
Yeah.
You know, if a nice, juicy producing job came to me, would I take it? Probably. So we'll just see what happens.
Yeah, it's fun. I love it. Once you get that momentum going, I was like, wow. Then if you're the actor, you're like, oh, wait a minute. I got to shut all this off and be the actor. Because sometimes I would just take the extra jobs. I actually did it just so I can interview the actors. I have this really cool microphone, but you can't interview them because you got to stay 6 feet apart. You got to wear the mask. I'm like, oh, now I'm stuck here for 10 hours. But then I end up getting featured. You know, I'm like, wow, this is kind of fun.
Yeah, no, I've met people in the business who are like, oh, I can never be a production assistant. And it's like, why not? Because you're on set, you're working with people, you're networking, it keeps the momentum, and you're doing things. So nothing is below me. I'll go get bottled water for the crew, or, you know, in Roman J. Israel Esquire with Denzel Washington, my job was just to drive my car. You know, I'm on footage, so it's actually an acting role, but I'm a driver. So you see my car in the film.
And they pay you for the car, too. Right?
Yeah, I made some good money on that. And you don't see my face at all, but they wanted me for my car.
I see that a lot. Or if you have a cute dog, you know. Do you have a tennis racket? Do you have rollerblades? Anything that can help you get the part. It's so funny. And you know what's weird is the competition for even the extra background work is fierce. I mean, it is amazing how many people are trying to do this.
Mm-hmm. Well, I was lucky back in the day when I was doing it to land on some really great shows like Lethal Weapon, Lucifer, Modern Family. I was lucky that I really fell fell into some great shows that enabled me to work with award-winning producers and directors, which taught me how to create my own films.
Yeah, that's awesome. So, Hail and Lucifer, did you get to see the main character off camera? How was he?
A wonderful story. I was in the makeup trailer and they were fixing me up for my character to be on Lucifer. I played a lawyer. I'm in the makeup trailer and in walks Tom Ellis, the star of the show.
Yeah, I love him.
And this is on the studio and the trailer is set there next to one of the big warehouses, as I call them. But it was just me, him, and the makeup artist, and we're having a conversation, and he's so nice, and it was really great working with him.
I love Lucifer. First of all, there's some great actors on that show. The one that plays the cop, she is amazing because she's so believable and she's such a good actress. But I just love the Lucifer character, how he's just, if it's not about him, he doesn't want to talk about it.
I know. He's a pretty amazing person. But you learn from all of these experiences, and I'm grateful I had those opportunities.
Great. So a young actor coming up today, what advice would you have for them getting into the business? Let's say COVID's over and it's all happening. They're just starting out. What's your advice to them?
Don't listen to the naysayers, because so many people will try to hold you back.
Yeah.
Ignore them and go forward with this. If you feel the pull to be in this business, don't let anything stop you. And you have to take risks. Done things because I was passionate about the business, like on Lethal Weapon, our call time was 6 in the morning or something. And it was far away. It was way up in Simi Valley. So I drove my car there the night before just so I didn't get stuck in traffic and I could be on time. And you have to do those kind of things.
That's really good advice, actually. Really good advice.
Yeah, the naysayers is what pulled me away from the business when I got my feet wet and I, okay, all right, you're right. What am I thinking? And the pull was so strong, I got back into it when I got back to LA in 2014. So I've done a lot between 2014 and now. And all I would say is stay on it and don't listen to them.
That's exactly right, because you only have so much time. So where would be the best place for somebody to find more information about you online?
The best two places, I have a page for my film, Fate Shadow, and for Rings on Facebook. I have my own page there. And then I'm also on IMDb with my own page. And their pages, of course, for the different projects I'm in.
Awesome.
So that would be http://www.imdb.me/MichelleArthur. There's another Michelle Arthur in this business. She's actually from England with dark hair. So sometimes there's been a little confusion with her, but we look pretty different. So it's easy to find me.
So wrapping up here, is there anything else you'd like to say that we didn't cover?
Just I'm so happy I've been able to work with the people I have, especially on my films. I'm so appreciative of the time and energy that they've dedicated to these projects so that I could tell my stories. And it benefits all of us when we're able to get some screen time or win some awards. And I have big dreams for both the films I'm working on and for what I hope to work on in the future.
Wow. Thank you so much for doing my podcast. I super really appreciate it. I love doing research on you as I love doing research on all the actors. But thank you just so much for doing my podcast. I really appreciate you getting up this early on a Saturday morning to tell your story.
Thank you. Take good care.
All right. Thank you. Bye-bye. Wow. Hardworking, amazing woman. Wow, that's pretty awesome. So let's just review, because I know that was a lot. So while the rest of the world had been on a lockdown over a global pandemic, she's been busier than ever with her acting, her filmmaking, and work under the name Princess Arthur Productions. The princess part is a takeoff of King Arthur's legends, given her ancestral roots to the United Kingdom. She has Fate Show, a short film wrapping up its award-winning festival run this month. That film just aired throughout the London Motion Picture Awards on a new platform called Films on Go TV. Out of almost 750 submissions, Michelle is currently a finalist for Best Director in that festival. Her feature version has also entered the contest circuit for scripts and trailers while it is in post-production. It's already brought home a few awards from Toronto, Kolkata, Singapore, and other hotspots. She also has the feature Rings of the Unpromised. It's an animated short VNF which she's casting up and developing right now. So outside those four films, you can see her acting on Amazon in these very recently released features, The Illegal, The French Teacher, where she plays Jessie, or The Wedding Do-Over as a dancer. Also up on TV, she was part of The Disaster Artist, just picked up by Netflix, and Two Sentence Horror Stories distributed by Warner Brothers, and she acts the role of Liz in MEN39, distributed by Sideshow. So there's lots of places to see Michelle, the latest and the greatest, so that was a pleasure having her on the show. Let's give it up for Michelle Arthur. Wow. Wow, you feeling lazy? These women of season 5 are kicking butt. Season 5, Season of the Woman continues. Thank you again so much, Michelle. You're amazing. And remember, if you're a buyer or seller of real estate, I have a nationwide real estate referral service where we find the best hyper-local real estate agents in your area for free. Actors2020podcast@gmail.com for more information. I'll have a link up soon. And wherever you're listening to this podcast, please like, share, embed, download, leave a comment, and or review. That wraps up this episode of Actors2020podcast.com. I'm your host, Johnny Keith. Until the next episode. Bye-bye.